Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The Staff and Graph Podcast.
This is weird. My lock's been drilled, so I open the door and my steering wheel is missing.
And links for salad.
You know, you're trying very hard not to get sued.
You can have all the talent in the world skating around, but if you don't have a goaltender, it does not matter.
Team Tidy Business, baby.
Well, Rachel,
we're back
in the studio.
In the studio.
And look, we're coming in here, and I think it's important that, you know, we don't talk about anything else, or at least we start the show off with the end of an era. And that is that Jacob Silfverberg is retiring.
Noted
Ducky. Anaheim Duck. Yeah. Is retiring at the age of 33.
That is early.
That's mainly the reason why I put it in the prep. It's odd.
Well, he's had a ton of injuries.
Yes.
He's a duck, right? Obviously, he started as a Sen, but
he spent way less. Like, he spent, I think it's 48 games or something.
And it feels like it was, I don't know why, but I guess that's like,
I thought he was a Sen for longer than that. But no, he played like part of one season with the Sens and then immediately got traded. Now, who did he get traded for?
He was in
a big trade. I genuinely can't remember, and I'm going to look that up right now.
Yeah, he was in a big trade because it was like
It was him.
It was the Bobby Ryan
trade. Yeah. So it was him. Actually, you know what? I am going to look up this trade.
No, yeah, it was the Bobby Ryan trade. Yeah, he honestly retiring at 33 it's commendable because like you're still at a point where your body's not broken down enough. And you're not like an elite talent that's chasing a points record or anything like that. So if you're happy with the money that you've made and you don't want to jeopardize your future, good on you. Honestly, yeah. I have a ton of respect for that.
Look, he hasn't won a cup. So maybe like if anything, I would have thought that might be the thing that would keep him going. But look, if you're right, you don't want like you only have so many years on this earth. He played 13 years in the NHL. He finished, he had 420 goal seasons, finished in the top 20 in Selke voting once. He was a very underrated player. Like he was very good in his prime.
I think he flew under the radar.
Absolutely.
Big time.
Do you want to know what the Bobby Ryan trade was?
Yeah.
So it was Silfverberg, obviously. And then there's a 2011 first rounder that is a current Carolina Hurricanes legend right now. Former Leaf too, for a very brief period.
What?
Someone who I brought up last show as a dubious mistake that you kind of waved off. It's Stefan Neesen.
Oh.
So it was Bobby,
oh, yeah.
Bobby Ryan to the Sens for Silfverberg, a 2011 first rounder in Stefan Neesen, Ottawa and Ottawa's 2014 first rounder, which turned out to be another Leaf great, Nick Ritchie. So,
Ofamaron.
Yeah. Now the thing about Silfverberg too is he came into the league extremely hyped. He won SHL MVP when
he was a kid.
And
Patterson level hype.
I would say that he might not have hit that hype, obviously. Like he might not have fulfilled it, but he was still a very effective player.
Anyone who plays 13 years in the league, effective player. So congratulations to Silfverberg. I mean, I have a ton of respect, like I said, for somebody who recognizes, hey, like, you know what? I have other things I want to do in my life. I've made enough money. I don't need to make any more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good.
He's got the three. He's RRS, I like to call it. The three things that you want in life. He's ripped. He's rich. And he's Swedish. That's as good as it gets, I think. So it's pretty good. Another thing too, Rachel, that we need to talk about here is the fact, and I'm so glad that this broke before the show. You know, thank goodness that we record after 5 p.m. So at least we have the 5 p.m. news dumps, or we don't miss them. But
oh, good.
The defensive market has been reset completely. Noah Hanifin re-ups in Vegas for 8 years, $7.85 million AAV. First of all, this was expected to happen the moment he got traded there.
Yeah.
Like, who basically, he wants to stay in the States. You know, we both been to Vegas.
Tax-free state.
Yeah. You know, tax.
Obviously federal, but.
Yeah. There's no in-state income tax. You know, it's Nevada. It's a pretty.
So my friend is married to, or getting married to, Michael Amadio. She loves living out. Like, they don't live on the strip. Obviously, mm-hmm. Nobody lives on the strip. You've got to be a lunatic to do that.
It's not even possible.
Well, you could live in one of the hotels,
but like why would
condos,
you?
In the same way that like pretty much every big hotel here has condos.
But why would you do that to yourself?
Yeah. I wouldn't personally, but she says like being in and around Vegas, like the suburbs of Vegas, it's beautiful. It's peaceful.
Houses are huge and cheap.
They absolutely love it there. Mm-hmm. It's safe. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, man. It seems like a pretty nice place to live. You can golf year round.
Yeah. I remember flying over.
Pretty nice place, in my opinion.
I was in Vegas. We were both in Vegas for game 5. I was in Vegas for the whole series. And believe me,
I was in Vegas for 9 days straight.
Yeah. I was in Vegas.
I'm surprised I didn't die.
Yeah. Last year in total, I believe I spent 11 days in Vegas. Broken up. I think it was 7 the first time, and then 4
the second.
Yeah. That is way too many days to be in Vegas, so at least on the strip. But
4 days max is usually what you do, right? You do
it's a 3-day town.
No, but what I mean is 4 days including travel.
Yeah.
So like that,
like you fly out on the fourth day.
Yeah, exactly.
It is a 3-day max town. Flying in, you fly over the, at least from the flight plan that you know, good old Delta Airlines took into Vegas the first time, is you fly over the suburbs and you look down. Every single house is a pool. You know, it is
a massive backyard.
It is. They're all massive. It's picturesque. You love it. So obviously this was going to happen, but 8 years, $7.85 million. You ran your model. There's some player comparables. Why don't you hit us with the player comparables for Noah Hanifin?
Yeah, so when you're in this type of conversation, you're in a pretty good conversation. Mm-hmm. His comparables are Jacob Slavin, Shea Theodore, Brady Shea. Like, those are the three closest comparisons, mm-hmm. and then mixed in there you've got... and don't forget, this isn't just for this year. This is, generally speaking, Travis Sanheim. That's another really good quality
Absolutely,
defenseman.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like, you're looking at a guy that, like, all of those guys I just named off are top four defensemen with a bullet. Mm. Like, impact guys. How are you arguing? So, I mean, I think of other defensemen that are going to be, like, up for a contract. Filip Hronek is a name that keeps coming up. Filip Hronek is a good defenseman.
Yeah.
But, like, when he is with Quinn Hughes... he's one level, and when he's not with Quinn Hughes or Mo Sider, he's a different level. Noah Hanifin has proven he can play with or without sort of support as mm-hmm. a partner, and that's the difference, right? Bruce Cassidy right now has Theodore on one pair, Pietrangelo on one pair, and Hanifin on one pair. So at all times, one of those defensemen is on the ice. That is a nightmare to deal with if you're an opposing team. Like, you don't get a good matchup ever.
Yeah.
And so when you're in conversations with Brady Shea and Jacob Slavin and Shea Theodore, like, we're talking about especially Slavin and Theodore, like, some of the best defensemen in the league.
Yeah.
Right? And Shea is a proper top four defenseman.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, you're negotiating a contract now. How do you, with a straight face, say, I'm worth 8.5? Because now, if I'm the Canucks, I'm like, well, Noah Hanifin's better than you. Right, I think Hronek has 48 points. Hanifin has 44. Are they flip flopped?
Hanifin's got 44 points. 13 goals though.
Yeah,
31 assists.
But he's better defenseman.
Is he playing
and he
more?
Can anchor his own. That part in Vegas, in Calgary, he was playing the same as Hronek. But
in Vegas, he's playing the same as he was in Calgary.
Oh, so then, yeah, he's playing the same as Hronek. But like, regardless, Hronek without Hughes, there is a chasm of difference. And so I think you're right in the sense that, like, the D market has been a little bit reset. You look at it. Kale McCarr making 925. Charlie McAvoy also in the nines. Adam Fox is...
He's in the nines.
In the nines.
He's 925, I think.
Somehow Darnell Nurse also in the nines.
Devin Taves making less than eight is huge. Like, how do you go into negotiation? This is the Chris Tanev trade of signings.
Yeah.
Where Tanev gets traded for like a third and some dude no one has ever heard of before. Yeah. And then you call up another team for Matt Dumba and you go, you know, we want a first for Matt Dumba. You go, Chris Tanev, first of all, shut up. Yeah. Second of all,
first of all, shut your mouth.
Yeah. Chris Tanev just got traded for a second and a guy, you know?
And guy.
You like you're telling me Matt Dumba?
Mark Donk.
No, thank you.
Or the Russian version of Mark Donk, Marek Donkov.
Marek Donkov. They also, like, these two guys, when you talk about actual not deployment but workload, they have almost identical ice times. Hronek or Hanifin this year is 23:37 average. He's 23:02 with Vegas, so still like 23:37. Hronek is 23:31. They're almost identical,
but Hronek's numbers without Hughes are like markedly different, whereas Hanifin is playing on a crap team in Calgary. Mm-hmm. It's still very good. Now he's on a good team. That team looks insane.
And he was still good even... Yeah, the team does look insane. He was still good even after Tanev left. He was still good even after...
Being
separated
from Uyghur.
Exactly. Like he can hold the fort. So that's huge.
I think you're in a situation now, like you said, where the market's sort of been... Mm-hmm. reset to more of a reasonable, because no one is walking into a negotiation after the year that Makar and Yossi and Hughes. Yeah, but Hughes makes 6-8 because he signed as an RFA.
Yeah, but no, but he's coming up
two more years.
I know, but when that happens though, it's going to be like 11.
Yeah,
like
because it'll be...
Well, the cap will even be up. So I'm thinking
it'll be 11. It'll be around 11.
If Quinn Hughes walked into the Canucks brass...
Today.
Today, and was like, I want $12 million a year, or I walk, they'd give it to him.
Well, yeah, he's their captain. And they don't want to lose a second captain in the span of 2 years.
Yeah. How's Atu Rati doing, by the way?
Actually, he's pretty good.
Oh, that's good. I haven't heard anything about him. So,
which is not ideal.
Exactly. Like, so that's why I asked. But hey, if it's good, then it's good.
He looks pretty good. I think at the NHL level, his ceiling.
Is Jacob Silverberg?
Third line player.
Yeah.
He's probably a fourth line player.
That's what you want to get for your captain. Speaking of not fourth line players.
Okay.
I want to rip through our headlines.
Noah Hanifin? So we can get,
yeah. Steven Stamkos.
Not a fourth line player.
Yeah. See, I'm good with the segues. That's the 0 years of broadcast school showing off right there.
How many years did you spend in the College of Sports Media? Zero?
Zero.
Zero.
Yeah. Right. No. I heard they have great offices. Or studio spaces. That's
Michael.
Great. Anyway, filled with amenities. It's
we
great.
We have not seen each other in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And it's so off the rails. We're barely keeping it together right now.
I'm barely awake right now.
I got to confess something, and you're going to be so proud of me that we're sitting here functioning. I was having issues sleeping just because I've been back and forth and whatever. I got 4 hours and 11 minutes of sleep last night, and I am having a functional conversation.
That's great. Very proud of you. Very proud of you.
Usually it's 8. With a bullet.
Yeah. That's
at least. Or what was it the one time I was like, I only got 6 hours of sleep, and you're like we're recording
fuck
tomorrow.
You. Yeah, yeah. But also I only got 6 hours. That's I average six. I hate people who are who brag about how little sleep they get. I feel like those are the most they're like, yeah, you know, man, I only got 4 hours of sleep last night, but I'm still here. I'm just chill. I'm shut. I don't give a
the
shit.
The only people I'll say this. The only people that can brag like that are military,
doctors?
Firemen, because sometimes, if you're in the military and you're off shift, let's say, right? Because there's obviously schedules and stuff. But some shit goes down.
You're in.
You are on
anyone who's on call.
If you're in a barracks, you are on like.
But anyone who works in
so
a job,
they're like, oh, I only got like 2 hours of sleep or whatever, or these military naps. Do you know about these?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
How does that even work?
There's a I gotta master the. It's like a psychological thing. Like you go up against a wall and you put your feet up, like you put your legs up, and somehow there's some breathing technique, and then you're out.
And it's like 15 minutes.
It's like 15 minutes. You wake up and you feel refreshed. It's crazy. I don't know how they do it.
I need to ask my friend.
We need to do that.
You know what? I'm going to ask my... He's actually... I don't know where in the world he is right now. But when I...
You should ask him.
Get a hold of him. I'm going to ask him about this. Because he always talks. He's like, I got my nap today. I'm like, how long was it? And he was like, 11 minutes. I'm like, that's not a nap.
That's not a nap. That's... bro. That's like someone knocked you unconscious and you woke up. Like, that's exactly. That's about it. Anyway, Steven Stamkos. Look, it's the talk of the league right now. Because... I don't know if you remember, Rachel, but at the start of the season in training camp, there were some very awkward moments with Steven Stamkos. The first thing he said on media day was basically, I'm upset.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that? Like
he felt disrespected. Yeah. About him.
That they were ready to like kind of just sweep him out the door.
Proceeds to go on a 40 goal campaign.
He's got 39 goals and 77 points. He's playing remarkable. His comparables are hilarious.
They're so funny.
His player comps, like you ran the model, Sidney Crosby.
Alex Ovechkin. We're talking about this season. Yeah. Anze Kopitar. And like obviously the model takes into account salary. Like that is part of it. It takes into account salary, age, scoring, value to team. Okay. So he is in the conversation to be the best mid-30s player in the league right now. Like, obviously, you're going to take Crosby and Ovechkin over him.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't know, actually. Would you take Ovechkin over him right now?
No. No.
Probably not,
current
right?
Ovechkin over current Stamkos? Absolutely not.
You would take Crosby, though.
Oh.
And you would take Kopitar.
I would take, yeah, Kopitar. Cause just because of the two-way. But, like...
In that discussion, at that level, this guy's a UFA this year. Now, I think we're all sort of under the assumption that he's not going to walk.
No, but the whole reason I bring it up is that there's no assumption anymore. At the start of the season, like Steven Stamkos has been in Tampa for 15 years.
He was their first overall pick.
He was their first overall pick. He was the like they
came
obviously
back during the cup final when he was basically dead.
Well, he spent the entire bubble, like 2 months, in the worst possible, like obviously they were cushy and everything, but like when it comes to,
I was going to say the Royal York.
Exactly. But I mean, it like if you talked it, like, for example, Chris Johnston, like
I talked to people who were in the bubble and they said it was miserable.
Yeah. They say like it was awful because you're just getting poked and prodded all day. You can't go outside. You can't see anyone. You know, you're going crazy. He endured that the whole time. And then came back for like 2 minutes, literally
scored.
And then like,
he's never seen again.
Yeah. But like that is remarkable. But like, he was obviously the Lightning won the cup in 2004, but then they had a real lull after that.
Well, yeah, because that's what enabled them to draft exactly. Stamkos first, Hedman second.
He was the impetus of them going up, like him and Marty St. Louis in their prime. It was, you know, they were, you know, a very scary duo. Yeah. Very scary duo. And some Brad Richards in there as well. Like, you know, that's great. But like, this is as Steven Stamkos is as important to the Lightning as
any other player in history.
No, any other player in the league, man. Like, he's won two cups. He's been to four cup finals. He's won two of them. He is, they made it to the cup final in 2015.
Yeah.
No,
I was thinking he doesn't have an Olympic gold because he was hurt both times.
Yeah, he was hurt both times. And even then, like, he almost recovered from a broken leg in like 2 months to go back. Like, he was that close. I think of, like, he is on the level of a Crosby, of an Ovechkin, of a Malkin, of a, like...
Of importance to franchise?
Yeah. I would even say,
oh,
like...
No one's ever wearing 91 again.
Exactly.
No.
So, and why I say that is the Lightning left him as a pending UFA. Like, you don't do that. Can you freaking imagine? Like, I know that Malkin just had that, but that's a different situation. He's a bit older. You know, like all
the
those,
direction the Penguins are going, the direction, in was the eyebrow raising.
Yes, the direction is different. I would say like the personality is maybe a bit different. Like, there's just some differences there, but like, you don't see any other team. You don't, the Caps are never going to let Alex Ovechkin become a pending UFA. He will always.
Ted Leonsis has publicly said he's not allowed to play for another team.
Exactly. Like he will, you will lock him up forever. Like Sidney Crosby, he's, I believe next year is
he's eligible to sign July 1.
Exactly. He will sign July 1.
Yeah.
Like they will not having, they will like, not let that go. Like, you know, as it, like there's a
12:02. He's going to
exactly play. Like when you think about like the Red Wings never let Nick Lidstrom get to free agency.
Could
they
you
never
imagine?
Let, I know they never let Steve Yzerman get to free agency. You know, like the closest thing I can think of is back when Colorado, even when he was like an RFA, they let Joe Sakic get to RFA status and he almost got poached as an RFA and that's it. But then they locked him up and now he's their freaking president. You know,
it would be okay. Obviously he didn't win with the team, but in terms of like importance to franchise, what if Steven Stamkos were to leave Tampa? It would be like when Matt Sundin walked from Toronto. Like it, when you see, if you were to see Stamkos in a different jersey,
oh, it'd be crazy.
It's weird. Like when Martin Brodeur was wearing a Blues jersey, I was like, I'm sorry, that's illegal.
And they already walked him to UFA once. That's another thing too.
Yeah,
is this already happened? And so I can understand why Stamkos would be pissed about that. Like obviously, you know, you want to, like when you're a young guy like that, you want to sow your oats. You want to see at least what's out there, but. When you're at this age, you know,
you're the captain of the franchise.
Captain of the franchise.
Arguably, it's the best player in franchise history in terms of Kucherov, most talented.
And St. Louis up there, too.
Yeah, like, but I think from a, when you look at what it meant to the franchise, he was their golden boy.
Yeah. And like, you, I want you to look at team valuation. What those three straight cup final appearances did
their,
and
Tampa's,
those two cups.
Tampa's franchise valuation is tripled.
Exactly. Like Steven Stamkos is a very, very big part of that. You don't walk a guy like this to free agency. And so I know that like, you know, normally the reaction, or I would say like the reflex is to go, oh, well, you know, like there's an assumption that, you know, like they'll re-sign. There's not, like there's a good chance. I would say there's a better than... Like,
it seems like it's 50-50 at this point.
I'd say there's a 50-50 chance that Steven Stamkos is a friggin', I don't know, like...
Utah something.
Utah Soakers. You know what soaking is, right?
Yes.
Okay, so, yeah.
Not going down that road.
Utah Soakers.
The Utah Teamy McTeam Faces.
Yeah. The Utah ATMs.
It's honestly, it's crazy.
Yeah.
There's just a part of me, like, similar to Sid... I just can't imagine
him
anywhere else. Like,
but it's getting there.
It's very, it'll be, honestly, if he plays for another team, it's going to be like Brodeur, like watching Brodeur play for St. Louis when he went there. I'm going to look at that and be like, ah, that's really
or
weird.
Like the one practice pick of Lundqvist in a Caps jersey.
Like, and like, I don't get me, as somebody with significant heart issues. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you never wish heart issues on anyone. Mm-hmm. But like, could you imagine
if there was
up
in a game
footage Henrik Lundqvist in a Caps jersey?
No, thank you. No, no thanks.
His good-looking self belongs in a New York Ranger uniform and only
it belongs
in
Broadway blue, and that is it.
And in his fancy suits that make him look very nice.
Yeah. So what do you like? What I want to know is what do you do? Like you're obviously the reaction
what?
Is Julian Brisebois, but there's a reason why, like why they've walked him here, because they think that his injury history is being a lot. Obviously,
if
Tampa,
he's willing to do what it seems like John Tavares is willing to do, which is
we don't know if John Tavares is everyone. You know what? And I know this is a bit of an aside.
I am going to refrain from comment on what I know and don't know.
Okay.
About that,
well, okay, that's good. But I'm just saying, like everyone. From like basically starting last year when he was about when Tavares was in his second last year or whatever or third last year, like people were starting to be like, oh yeah, Tavares will take less to be here. And I'm like, I know that you probably know stuff, so we won't. But like, I very much
keep in mind he golfs with my family,
but especially in Toronto, especially if you're a two way center, perhaps I would caution Leafs fans from just assuming that the local guy is going to re-sign. For a team-friendly deal.
Right. Had he not already told people in his circle that he wasn't moving his kids
I mean,
anywhere.
Yeah, like he's not gonna... He's But, like, I
when,
just
put
wonder...
Put it this way, when you spend $7 million building a house, mm-hmm. and you're from that city, mm-hmm. you're probably not moving anywhere else.
I don't know, maybe he's skedaddling from the CRA. who knows?
You're still gonna have to pay that
amount. No, I know. It's a shame. But I like, but this is a big deal. Like, Steven Stamkos could potentially be playing for another team. Like, that would be a travesty. But there's a reason. I'm saying the reason why he's being walked here is because of the age and the injury history.
Which, on Julian Brisebois' part, he could sound, right? I think, honestly, I think we're in the situation we're in because Julian Brisebois wanted to see what Stamkos was capable of. Well, now he's shown you he could score 40 goals still.
So what impetus then does Stamkos have to take anything team friendly? He's like, you gambled on me, your captain.
He would be doing them a massive favor if he did it. I don't
like
it.
Like, if I'm Steven Stamkos, I go like, really? You wanted me, your captain, your golden boy, the guy who's been here for basically like almost half of his life, who's dedicated his entire professional career to this team, who's brought two straight Stanley Cups, who's brought you to the Cup final four times. You wanted me to be in a prove it year? Fuck you. Pay me my money. Pay me $8.5 million. I'm a 40 goal scorer.
Yeah.
Do it. And like,
he's not even a 40, he's a 60 goal scorer.
No, but like, even right now.
Yeah. Oh, he's like, you want a 40 goal scorer.
It's the Subban thing where they were like, they're like, sure, you can bridge me for like 2.5 or whatever a year.
Then you're going to pay me 9.
But I'm going to put up point. I'm going to win a Norris. Like, I'm going to. And when that happens, you better pay up.
What is it? Fuck you, pay me?
Yeah. Fuck you, pay me. Like, oh, I don't know, man. Your injury history is... No, fuck you, pay me. Like, it's that kind of stuff. So
it's going
to
be very...
I'm very fascinated to see what goes on here. All right, Rachel.
Okay. So, Mike,
mm-hmm.
we have to talk about the Arizona Coyotes.
I know we do. And you know what? I'm actually... I know you wanted me to come on here... And you wanted me to be all upset that we have to talk about the Coyotes.
In the same boat, in that, like, we feel really bad for the players.
I feel bad for the players and for the fans.
And the good, like, the actual working people in the organization, the trainers.
I also feel bad for the media. Like, I think.
Ticket staff.
I think of my. Marketing, like,
those people.
I think about guys, like, because that.
Craig Morgan.
Yeah, you know what? Let's just be honest. I feel really, really, really bad for Craig Morgan. And as much as in, like, because that guy, like, he, that is his thing, like his market. He is the Arizona Coyotes guy. Anything that happened.
Oh, he is their water boy.
But I mean, like, just source of information. Like, yes. he is like the team, you know, he works for a company called PHNX. Like,
yeah.
Like it's not. UTAH. It's, you know, like
it's not Utah.
Exactly. Like, and so I can't even imagine if I dedicated my entire life to the Toronto Maple Leafs and then the Leafs just up and leave. You know, like you know what?
Think about
our quality of life and how much better it would be if that happened. But like this is devastating. This is professionally devastating because now he's gotta wonder, do I move to Utah? Like he's got to think about that. Or
the answer to that is immediately no.
But then I go like, I think my business is going to go belly up. Like there's
guess you better pivot.
There's so many aspects of this. And this is why this all comes down. And we're going to get into the specifics. Don't worry. But this all comes down directly on the stupid fucking head of Alex Morello.
How do you feel about Coyotes ownership?
I fucking hate them. I hate them. I'm tired.
We should honestly, instead of listing people we feel bad for, let's just list the people we don't feel bad for. Because
Alex Morello,
yeah.
Xavier Gutierrez, and Alex Morello Jr.
Yeah.
If I could punch those three men in the face all at the same time right now, I would do it.
Falcon punch?
If I could falcon punch them all, I would do it. These are billionaires who have... shortchanged at every tour of cut corners. And like, again, I want to bring back,
when you're like doing a, you know what this reminds me of? I was having this conversation with somebody. What the Arizona Coyotes are doing is, remember when we were in school? Mm-hmm. Okay. And we would have to do like a math test.
Yeah. That was my D-day.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And they always say like, you got to show your work.
Mm-hmm.
I would just write the answers down, cut corners. But if you just write the answer down and it's wrong, You get no marks.
Yeah,
but you look like a goddamn loser.
At least if you show your work.
But
you
if
get
you show your work and the process is right.
Two out of five, three out of five, you know.
Whatever. These guys cut corners so badly that they tried to make a square and it turned into a goddamn triangle. Yeah.
No, it turned into like a dodeca hexagon or whatever.
Yeah,
like
it turned into a circle.
It turned into a shape that it turned into a rhombus.
They cut so many corners that the Arizona Coyotes are now a circle. And now we're at the point where
they're not
haven't shown their work. There's nothing.
They're a circle in what it would look like if a snake was sucking its own dick. That's what they're like. They're the biggest.
What?
That's what the circle is. They are the biggest. Fuck. I hate them. And there's a metaphor works. And believe me, let me tell you. But
what did he just say?
That metaphor works. But like I want to bring back again the Katie Strang piece that we referenced way back. We referenced this way back when we were talking about by way back, I mean like probably January or something, when we were talking about what it, you know, like public money for arenas. We did that whole deep dive on that.
Oh yeah. And you know, like why it's a bad
and
idea.
And you broke out your sports business textbooks and all that. And we did all
I was
that.
Literally flipping through my textbook.
And, not enough people have read that. I'm going to be honest. And I want to
print it out, highlight it. Yeah,
but not enough people, because the Arizona Coyotes, their corporate culture under Alex Morello is toxic. I know multiple people who have worked in the Coyotes organization under Alex Morello. They ran from that organization screaming.
Neither one of us knows anything about toxic workplaces though. So we can't comment.
No, we don't. But no, this is like then even like I've been on the phone with the Glendale city manager.
So wild to me. I've
talked to the guy who's in charge of overseeing this, and he hated them. The last quote, I'll always remember it. The last quote that he gave me before we...
Is his name Kevin?
I believe so. Kevin something. It was so long ago, I can't remember. But like him being like, we are now having a renovation project for Gila River Arena that's going to turn into a great entertainment value. And we're very excited about the project with the Coyotes not a part of it.
Like that, when you get singled out,
that's a politician.
Saying, we're excited that you're not here. It's not.
But this is what like, and I think of like this is Alex Morello, billionaire.
But is he a billionaire or is he like a Trump?
Maybe his assets say that, but still he's got more money than the guy who sells napkins. And so the guy, so he goes,
or the straw guy.
Yeah. So he goes to the guy who sells napkins and he goes, hey, let's get a 3-year vendor partnership together where I will pay you X amount of money. Let's say for the whole year, I will pay you $600,000 to be the official napkin supplier. That's a lot of napkins that are going into this arena. You have no idea how many napkins or arenas go through, because it's not just hockey games, but it's all the concerts and events and everything. So you have that on paper. And so that person plans their business and their life under the assumption that at the end of every year, they will have been paid $600,000. Those payments never come. And so the local vendor now goes, hey, calls up Alex Morello and goes, hey, we had an agreement.
What the heck?
What the heck is going on here? And Alex Morello goes, oh, well, I actually got my lawyer to look through this. Or actually, no, Alex Morello doesn't do that. He gets his lawyer to do that and goes, we've been looking through this and you didn't comply with this clause and this clause and this clause, even though they did. They try and minutiae it out. And then after knowing that Alex Morello has more money than this local vendor, and this local vendor has bills, he has staff, he has probably a mortgage, he has to pay rent on like commercial leasing rent. And he goes, oh, well, I just need any kind of money because the bills are starting to pile up.
I would stop sending napkins.
My credit is being hit. Like we need any money. So then they go, okay, well, because you didn't do this, we are prepared to offer to amend the deal. So we'll only have to pay you $200,000. And out of sheer desperation,
that's Trump right
yeah,
there.
And out of sheer desperation, this napkin vendor has to go, fine.
That's
because
crap.
I need some money in my bank account so I can pay my staff, so I can pay my mortgage, so I can just survive and float. That is what they did with all of their local vendors. Not to mention the fact that they never paid their taxes and lied about it. Not to mention
that they don't have an arena to play in.
It's so funny if you like go back where the guy on the phone, the city manager, because they claimed that it was human error. And he goes, everyone in Arizona goes to an online portal and they hit the big button that says remit. And if you're telling me that they weren't able to do that for 16 months, I just don't buy it.
Okay, so let's move.
So that is,
hang on,
yes.
We've covered this yeah. ad nauseum and like it's honestly giving me a headache.
Yeah, so that's why I say I'm so sorry to the fans. Like, and I don't and I don't want it to sound like my anger or our anger towards talking about the Coyotes has anything to do with you Coyotes fans, because you are like the fact that any of you still exist
is frankly astounding.
Is a miracle, like a biblical proportions. The Arizona Coyotes have done, the Phoenix Coyotes and then the Arizona Coyotes have done everything a sports team can do to drive you away.
Oh, they slap their fans in the face on a near daily basis.
It is the most abusive relationship between fan base and team there is, and you still stick around. That's great. But Alex Morello, the NHL is a better place, or will be a better place, with Alex Morello and Xavier Gutierrez and Alex Morello Jr. and anyone involved in this current Coyotes ownership sphere, not in the league.
So let's talk about relocation.
Yeah.
Because it...
So, by the way, the league is working on a plan to relocate the Coyotes to Salt Lake City for next season. Just in case anyone didn't pick up on that, because I don't think we actually said it off the
So, hop. Here's the deal.
What is the deal?
I think a lot of people say, like, oh, these players make money, like, they can move and whatever. I think that that is a terrible way of looking at anything. Mm-hmm. That's a terrible lens to have.
It's also not true.
Like, it doesn't matter. Like, it took me a little bit to learn this. But, like, as I grow and I'm doing various things, I realize, like, I don't care how much you pay me. Like, at all. Right? We were talking about this when I turned down the job last month. If I don't feel content, mm-hmm. safe, happy in my environment... there's no amount of money that's going to change that, right? So you look at the Coyotes. There is a cosmic difference between living in Arizona and living in Utah.
First of all, in Utah, like players like to indulge in a...
People retire in Arizona.
Yeah.
I don't know a single person that retires
If a person says, let's say you're at a
institution.
Yeah, I would say, let's say you're at a job and like Jim in accounting has worked there for 30 years. And you go like, and Jim at his retirement party and you go like, oh man, that's great, Jim. You had 30 years worth of service, this company. That's awesome. You're going to retire now. Like, where are you going? You're going to take the missus and go to Florida, or maybe, you know, get a timeshare in Arizona or something. He's like, and he goes, no, we're gonna retire down to Salt Lake City. I go like you're a freaking freak, Jim. Like you're a sicko.
To the mental institution.
Exactly.
Like my mom's gonna retire probably in the next year.
Mm-hmm.
She gonna retire in...
If she came to you and was like, I'm thinking of buying a place in Salt Lake City and just sowing my oats, just setting roots down, you know, enjoying retirement.
My stepdad would be like enjoy
what?
Your divorce.
Yeah.
No, get ready
to learn divorcees, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. we already have our place.
I'm fluent,
in
by
Mexico,
the way.
And then Italy.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
Decidedly not Utah. But here's the thing. Okay.
The beaches of Tuscany, or
Amalfi,
Yeah. Or Salt Lake City. Which one?
Yeah. So this is you have a young team, right? The thing with Arizona is Logan Cooley, Clayton Keller, Dylan Gunther. Dmitry Simashev is coming. They're going to have a top 5 pick in this year's draft. Like, there's so many young players. Salt Lake City is not exactly where you want to be.
So I was going to say, like, you know, young hockey players, they like to indulge in a cocktail every once in a while. Can't do that in Salt Lake City.
Wait, what?
It's a Mormon place. Like, you can't drink.
No, there's bars.
Nope.
Yeah, there absolutely has to be, because the Utah Jazz, it's like a requirement of the NBA. You have to have some level. They might close early, but, like, there's no chance. It is a Mormon state. Let's call it what it is. I'm pretty sure that's where BYU is, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah.
But the reality of the situation is those players signed up to play in Arizona. And there is, like, sorry, Utah, but there's a reason why people go hang out in Arizona and they don't go hang out in Utah. Like, these players, and regardless, whether they're moving to, like, whether they're moving to Utah or they're moving to Atlanta or wherever else, the fact that these players signed to play with the Arizona Coyotes and are now going to be forced to uproot and go play in a city they did not sign up to play for is flat out wrong. And it's just, like, at some point, the PA has got to do something, no?
Yes. No, sorry, I was just looking up the alcohol laws in Utah. There are 9 dry cities in Utah where alcohol is banned.
Yeah, there's dry counties in Kentucky.
Yeah, but I think it's dry. Is it dry cities or counties?
It would likely be county.
Dry cities, but they are counties. So yeah. It says county.
Yeah.
It costs so. There's so little bars in Utah because it costs so much money to get your liquor license there.
It seems like a great goddamn place. That and keep in mind, this is professional, like, sports.
It's different in it's different obviously for Canadians because we've been like we live with these laws all the time. But
we
like
get raked over the coals every 4.5 seconds by our government.
But
yeah.
in the States, like you can buy alcohol wherever you want.
You
basically
walk down the street.
They don't have anything higher than, I think it's like 4.5% alcohol in grocery stores in right. Utah.
Which is like shocking.
Because it's so expensive to open up. Also, you have to, if you do open up a bar, you have to have a massive sign that literally says, "This is a bar."
Shut up.
I
need to take a picture with one.
You know, like,
you know what? You and I, we need to go to Salt Lake. We need to do some investigation.
Exactly. Like, you know, the biggest,
I need to sort this out for myself.
Utah, like, the thing about Utah is that, like, for example, one of our old coworkers, like, he was always like, "I really want to go to Utah because there's this like malt shop where you can mix any soda you want because that's the only fun thing they have
to
do
dirty
there."
Sodas.
Exactly. Dirty. So you know what else is dirty? A martini, you know, but no. So,
I love me a dirty martini. I think about that. I'm going to have one later.
Exactly. There you go. But this is crazy. I think, okay. So obviously,
like, anyone, regardless. Okay. Yeah. Even if it was, you're in Arizona, let's say they're relocating to Atlanta.
Yeah.
Like, Buzzin' City.
Anywhere, it doesn't matter.
Asking and expecting your employees to just simply uproot their families and leave because you couldn't get your act together is absolutely unacceptable.
It would be one thing, Rachel, if that was being asked of players. It'd be one thing if that was being asked of players by ownership when they had been brought along with full knowledge at every stage of this process. These players are finding out about this from Twitter. Can you imagine?
I was speaking to one of the Coyotes players. Yeah. Last night? Yeah, it was last night. I was speaking to a Coyote. And he basically was like, my wife was like keeping me up to date because she was just like reading people's tweets. I'm like, how are you not having a team meeting any point in the last 2 weeks?
I understand that you can't because the main thing that a lot of the insiders that broke in this relocation news have made clear is that there are a lot of balls up in the air right now because there's a lot of legalese that still has to be done. It's a fluid situation. However, I know that as an ownership group as a legal entity, I know that you can't share all of the details. Because a lot of them aren't finalized. A lot, like we said, are still fluid. I get that. However,
a heads up.
Anything, even saying, "Hey guys, rumors reports
there's a couple of scenarios that could play out. We need to prepare for both."
Exactly.
These are the scenarios.
Because a lot of you might have wives or partners or children that are in schools that are likely young.
They got school.
They got school.
School.
No, I got school.
I got school. It's not in the funny. Morning.
I got school.
My sister.
I love that.
Does the best impression of that. It's on every time I'm in like a grumpy mood. She'll like come by and do her thing, and it's
no,
just,
I'm serious. I got school.
It's not funny.
It's not funny. But no, like it's it. And so what I also want to point out too. Oh, also, they tweeted through it.
Oh, they hired. Oh, that's the other thing I wanted to mention.
What?
Okay, I feel like this flew right under the radar.
What did it do?
Remember when Vegas was originally given a team and they hired
the most annoying social media person on the planet,
Dan Marazza, to build their presence.
Yeah.
Okay, well, he did a really good job of it.
He did, but he was annoying as hell, but he did.
But it's just not a style that other people are used to. But this is a style that gets used like all over professional sports, right? Guess who the Coyotes hired 2 months ago?
Was it him?
Yep. So that right there says we need someone who could do damage control online. Because if there is... Dan is really talented at a lot of things. Like, he's worked at Canton for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He's worked at DraftKings, obviously the Golden Knights. Like, he's had some high, high-end jobs in social media. When you are hiring Dan to be in charge of your strategy, it is because you either have to build something from the ground up or you have some things...
Or something is burning down.
Right, and you need brand management.
Exactly.
So... that's basically what he specializes in. And think about how quickly DraftKings blew up.
Yeah.
From a social perspective. Like, he's really good at that kind of thing. So it's like, we might not agree with how they're doing it.
I don't.
Right? But when you bring in somebody like Dan, it's because you are now in some deep trouble.
If I'm a, like, last night, or not last night, yesterday afternoon, these reports come out. And there's about 2 hours after they initially come out, they initially break, where, like, that's the height of the fervor. Like, where people are like, holy crap, this is actually happening. I cannot believe this. And the Coyotes, keep in mind, they're in the middle of the fervor. Like, about them.
You are the fire.
They tweet, it's Dylan Gunther's birthday today. Wish Dylan Gunther a happy birthday.
He scored 4 points last night.
He did. And that's great.
Against the team that traded the pick.
Yeah.
To get him.
For Oliver Ekman-Larsson.
Connor Garland.
Incredible. But that, like, it's stuff like that. If I'm a player and I'm going, holy crap, we might have to uproot, like, honey, we might have to break our lease on our house if we're leasing a house. Or if we don't,
most guys do.
That exactly. Or if we bought it, we're going to have to put it on the market again and go through all, like, we did a whole thing about how there's literally, like, they made two former NHL wives made a service.
Ellerbee and Montoya. Montoya, yeah.
Made a service about this because
they're going to get real busy.
Oh, dude. They better, like, get ready to learn Utahese, buddy. Like, you're going to be in, you're ready to learn Mormonese, buddy. Mormonese. You're going to be there. But like, it's and you know, Oh no, like our kids are in school. They've been here for a while or they just moved there and they've made friends. And now we're going to have to uproot them across the country. There's a reason why you have a no trade clause because we don't want to get traded. Oh, well, you know, Utah doesn't exist. So I guess we don't have the, and also you're not getting traded. So that doesn't impact it. And we going, they're not telling us anything. Our employer's not telling us anything. Like, honey, I don't know what to tell you. I'm so sorry. Maybe, I guess we'll find out on Twitter. And then you see that the company
is tweeting.
And then after that, they go, in preparation for their game against Vancouver, they go, they tweet this video of, like, it's Steve Dangle had a great tweet about it. It's like, if NHL franchises were valued upon how many times they tweet out stock footage, the Coyotes would be worth $10 billion. Because it is, all they do is tweet out stupid stock footage of, like, deserts and cocky, and they go, like, for our fans, for our state. That's what they did. Like, we're pushing through the noise, and we're going to put on for our state.
No,
and do
I don't think so.
If I'm a player, I'm going, fuck you. I don't care if you're pushing through the noise. Give me the noise. Tell me what is happening.
So, and this gets to the last point I think we probably need to touch on.
Yeah.
And it is that, I don't know how you feel about it, but this notion that, like, Vancouver reporters last night and then Jim Matheson today were angry that the coyotes weren't made available to discuss this specific topic. And it's like,
okay,
here's, okay, so here's what, where
I'll give you my perspective after this.
I understand as people in media that you have jobs. Mm-hmm. And I understand that this is something that you may want to ask about. But I think there is a level of decorum of, we already know because it's public that these guys have no idea. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these players are 19 and 20 years old, probably don't even understand everything that may have to go into relocation. And frankly, why should the players be answering for the just utter disaster? Alex Morelo stepped to the podium. Javier Gutierrez stepped to the podium.
How is Bill Armstrong not being on the podium?
But Jim Matheson being like, what else are we supposed to ask them about? I don't know. Maybe ask about like
the game that they just won.
The fact that Dylan Gunther just had 4 points.
On his birthday.
On his birthday. Ask about.
Did you know that it's his birthday?
Like, what do you. So I understand that you want to ask, but at the same time, we already know these players have no information. They're probably like anxiety ridden because they have wives and young kids. And I'm sorry, but from my position, if you can't come up with another angle, that is supremely on you.
So I understand. I even tweeted it this morning. I'm like, look, it's good that the Coyotes did this. They closed the room. They sent out Logan Cooley, who answered one question from the Coyotes' own internal sort of like entertainment product. And then he went back. And I get it. Like, you're right. Everything you just said was right. The only thing that I take issue for is that, like, this isn't just, they're not just asking, like, these reporters don't want to just ask. Or, okay, let me put it this way. Like, when you're a beat reporter, you are on a deadline. So closing the room, making them wait around and closing the room, that cuts into your deadline. So you now have like 15 minutes less to write this story. That's a lot.
Yeah.
So that would be a huge, like, I can see why they would be in the moment pissed tweeting about that. Secondly, a lot of these guys, they're not just writing about this for fun. Their editors have told them, this is the story. Go write about it.
Right.
And so you then have to go back to your editor and go, hey, they closed the room. Our entire story is off. Like, what do you want me to do? I have to scramble last minute.
So here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Because you, like you said, you do like rooms, whereas I've been on the other side of it, where like I have been in meetings where the PR guy has said X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
So I think the solution is, if you're Coyotes PR, whatever, you gather all the media and you say, we're opening the room. Here are the guidelines.
Exactly.
You may ask about the game. You can ask whatever you want. But the moment, the moment
we shut it down,
that you ask about relocation or anything like that, we close the room.
And that happens.
If one person fucks it up for all of you, you can go blame that person.
And that happens all the time.
Like, and that's what I think. And you know what? If Jim Matheson wants to screw it up for everybody else, then
that's,
let Jim Matheson screw it
up
for everybody else.
That's the sword he's got to fall on. Like that's the thing. There's a way to do this where it's.
But not making anyone available at all. Just set ground rules. And if the media is disrespectful and doesn't respect those ground rules, because it really shouldn't be that hard to not pester somebody about this.
It's two things. It's more of the symbolic nature of opening the dressing room.
Yes.
Because it's because, you know, like I was a beat reporter when locker rooms were closed during COVID, and I was a beat reporter when they were open. And I know that this might be like, you know, an establishment type thing to say, but like you do, it just helps so much when the room is open.
I never understand. And this is probably because I work in a different world. Yeah. The room is never open in professional soccer ever. There's a mix zone. And the reason they do mix zone is everyone, you know, how like when you're in the room and it's like, you're getting these five guys kind of thing.
Yeah.
In the mix zone, every single player has to walk through. So you get every single player, but you are not allowed in the room. So what does that do? Let's say you move that to the NHL. What does that do? Nobody's stepping on the logo. So nobody has to have like a conniption about that. And you get access to everyone. And they stand there. Like, I've watched press conferences. They've stood there for like 10 minutes.
It's more of a comfortability thing. I think athletes are a lot more comfortable speaking just or being in the locker room than being in a formal setting of a mix zone where you're standing not at a podium, but there is like a partition or something in front of you. Like it just adds a sense of, it takes down a barrier formality. That's extremely important.
There's room in the middle, right? Closing the room, not a good option,
But and then bombarding letting, all these players.
Letting Jim Matheson and Ryan Rashog and Dave Staples or whoever ask, like, honestly, you know what? I'm going to give Rashog
I love how you just noted, you just, like, they didn't even play Edmonton last night. You just mentioned.
Playing Edmonton.
No, I know, but yeah. It's just, like, it's so funny. Like, they didn't even.
I will give Rashog some credit because, like, he is actually, I've heard him speak about the fact that when it comes to, like, this level of sensitivity, like, somebody asked Ryan McLeod about Michael McLeod, and he was one of the first people to be like, that's offside.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
And so I'm actually going to remove him, but, like, Jim Matheson tweeting out, like, what else am I supposed to ask them about? It's like, dude, you've been in the media for how long? You can't come up with a different angle? Sorry. That says more about you than anybody else.
I will, Ryan Rashog's, you know, like, sort of conniption that he threw, or hissy fit that
the
he threw over Al Montoya not speaking to him on the morning of a game day, when goalies never speak on the morning of a game day, is the funniest thing in the entire world. I just want to thank you, Ryan, for your service.
but,
you know, our,
you know what I'm saying?
Bring,
like,
our boys home. Let me say that.
I think there's got to be a meet in the middle between
it's
closing
easy.
The room and having some fucking respect for these people, because they're people and you guys are treating them like they're zoo animals.
First of all, I don't think the media last night, they weren't mad that they couldn't ask these players about this stuff because it was a gotcha moment. They were mad because their editor said, this is the story, we're running with it. It will do good numbers, which is in turn good for you. And when plans change last minute, when you have a story like that, that sucks. And so you have to scramble, and that sucks. Now, opening the room is a symbol. Like, it's a symbolic sort of thing of, okay, like it's an olive branch between, you know, media and PR, because the PR's job is to ensure that the media don't do their job as well as they can. Like, that is literally
so
their job.
They did their job yesterday when they
exactly.
The room.
But and so this happens all the time. It happens with, like, every Torts press conference. It happens all where you go, no questions about this. That you all of, like, how you wait outside a dressing room is, it's like a cattle. Like, you're all in the same glob right outside the room, and you go, hey, and you're waiting for them to open up the doors. The PR person steps in front. They go, hey guys, we're about to open the room. No question about this tonight. And you can, and everyone will go bitch and moan or whatever. You go, no, it's fine. But no questions about this. That's
we're going
to
shut it down.
Now, last thing I want to say on this, absolute last thing. The Coyotes went 0-12-2 from January when they came back to late February. That tanked their season. They were treading water, but they tanked their season after that. Chris Johnson at The Athletic, he wrote an article today about the mental warfare that these guys are going through. And he interviewed Matt Dumba about this, who was on the Coyotes during that time. And he went, it was the exact quote is, just the uncertainty, not knowing. I don't think anyone knows. It's tough for guys with families or guys who have been down there a long time and have their houses. You never know when that can be pulled out from under you. He confirmed, Matt Dumba, that the uncertainty around their status to be in Arizona was the principal factor that led to them going 0-12-2 and tanking their season. So at this point, the Morelos are so incompetent that they are sucking the life out of the on-ice product.
Well done,
go
everyone.
Away.
Great job.
Go away. That's
please,
what I'm going to say.
Good riddance.
Yeah. So obviously this isn't a developing story. We will keep you up to date on any developments that come through as they do. But YouTube, Twitch, any podcatcher, Spotify, you know, all that. Definitely make sure to subscribe, and then also donate to Jumpstart, charity of choice. Jumpstart helps economically disadvantaged kids play team sports, which is a cause that is very near and dear to our hearts. Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.